Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to another episode of Pneumaticos. My name is Dr. Josiah Rich, and I am your host of this show. This morning, our show is entitled The Patience of Job. What is very interesting about this title is that it is taken from a New Testament book called the Book of This title, excuse me, the Patience of Job is used in a very interesting context in the book of James. And so, having said that, I want to introduce to you, I've heard before, another significant term that is embedded in the book of Job, and that is the telos, E-L-O-S in the Greek, the telos of this book, the telos of the suffering of Job. And that word, telos, means the end result. It also means destiny or purpose. So telos. This word telos is going to be used also in James chapter. It is also the word telos is the word from which we get our word teleology, which means purpose or design in nature. And then it is one of the teleological argument is one of the arguments that is used in traditional theology for the existence of God. So, James chapter 5, I'm going to begin reading verse 7. Be patient, therefore, brethren, unto the coming of the Lord. Behold, the husbandman or farmer waiteth for the precious fruit of the earth, and hath long patience for it, until he receive the early and latter rain. Be you also patient. Establish your hearts, for the coming of the Lord draweth nigh. Grudge not against one another, brethren, lest you be condemned. Behold, the judge standeth before the door. Take, my brethren, the prophets, who have spoken in the name of the Lord for an example of suffering, affliction, and of patience. Behold, we count them happy which endure. You have heard of the patience of Job, and have seen the end of the Lord, that word end is telos, for purpose. That the Lord is very pitiful and of tender mercy. So it is important to that we recognize another important word for our study, and that is the word patience. It is makrothumia in the Greek. Makrothumia means patience toward people, things, and circumstances. Patience toward people, things, or circumstances. It's a very important word. It is used in James chapter 5, verse 7. Be patient, therefore. So it is a form of the word macrothumia. It is here is an aorist imperative active. And very interesting that it is used here as an aorist imperative active. So it is at once important, singular importance that one has macrothumia within the soul developed by the Holy Spirit. So it is the Holy Spirit who blesses or who develops character of the individual to have this patience. This is not human patience. This, of course, is a divine patience. It is God's own patience, God's own sense of patience toward people, things, and circumstances. It's his gift to us. And so, in verse 8, James, once again, a form of the word macrothumia. Be also patient. In verse 7, James states, be patient. Therefore, in verse 8, be also patient. And that is exercise understanding and patience toward persons. Exercising understanding and patience towards persons. Establish your heart. That is, restate your heart in a certain direction. For the coming of the Lord draweth nigh. And so here's the doctrinal basis for the appeal to exercise patience. So the doctrinal foundation is given to us. For the coming of the Lord draweth nigh. James goes on in verse 9, grudge not against one another. That is, and so is the present period now. That is, let there be no groaning, and let there be no sighing or grief, or to murmur against the one against another. So grudge not one against another, brethren, lest you be condemned. Again, the word condemned here, we use it as the term judge, and it means to pronounce sentence against another. Behold, the judge standeth before the door. Again, the doctrinal basis for the appeal is the judge. Now notice that James does not state or say a judge standeth at the door. It is singular, so that we might understand who this judge is. The one judge standeth before the door. And that is the Lord. That judge is the Lord himself. Take, my brethren, another, again, the word take, and the verb of this is an aorist imperative. Aorist, to term means at a point in time, and imperative is a curt command. Do it at once. Do it now. So, and active voice, of course, means that the subject performs the action of a verb. Take, my brethren, the prophets who have spoken in the name of the Lord. And notice this verse. For an example, or for an exhibit, that should be imitated, of suffering affliction, or suffering evil, or bearing affliction and hardship, and of macrothumia. So we see these two at work in the book of Job. Job will encounter individuals who will seek to chafe to accuse and to accuse him of a secret sin. We'll seek to boldly and brazenly judge Job in a very evil manner. And Job, while under this intense interrogation, will be challenged not to have mental attitudes then toward his friend. See, because if they are his friend, there's some degree of emotional commitment involved. And indeed, it is those who are closest to us, because we have a deep emotional commitment to them, that can say the most hurtful things. And sometimes these things go deep into our hearts, and we don't cover. And so we become very bitter over what we share. And we become very bitter and resentful because this loved one with whom we have this intense emotional commitment has said such a terrible thing or done such a terrible deed that we say this is unforgivable. What you have said and the action you have done, I don't know if I can forgive. It is indeed a great challenge to forgive. But when one thinks about the consequences of unforgiveness, we see the spiritual necessity of forgiveness. Because if one who has been so harmed by another, this individual does not forgive, this individual is going to suffer. He or she believes that the suffering is intense, or what they are suffering now is intense because of what was said or done. But superimpose what was said and done with that, and superimpose unforgiveness on top of that, and you have the potential for a life to go out, and for a life to be less than it should be. So forgiveness is a very important part of one's spiritual life. This is where the rubber meets the road, as it were. This could create a turning point where life becomes vapid and empty because one does not forgive. And forgiveness, the word, at least Afeme in the Greek New Testament, means to release an individual from a debt that can never be paid. So this release means that the one who is doing the forgiving, or the one who is performing the act of forgiveness, is letting go. It is release. The one who is forgiving is releasing himself or herself so that they will not live lives of intense bondage, because the bondage is real. The bondage is intense. The bondage is indeed a burden upon the spirit if one does not forgive. So in verse 10, the writer says, "Take my brethren, the prophets, who have spoken in the name of the Lord, for an example of suffering, affliction, and of patience." Notice, and they spoke in the name of the Lord. They spoke the word of God. This was their cry, speaking in the name of God, speaking on behalf of God, doing God's will. Verse 11, "Behold, we count them happy which endure." Happy is an old word, and happy is a condition or happiness depends upon circumstance. And that is rarely used in the Greek text, to be happy or the pursuit of happiness. That word is rarely used in the Greek New Testament because it is a circumstantial word. But let me give you what is going on here, verse 11. "Behold, we count them happy which endure. You have heard of the patience of Job, and have seen the end of the Lord, to tell us that the Lord is very pitiful and of tender mercy. Behold, we count them spiritually prosperous." Spiritually prosperous. Who endure. Now, in verse 11, we have a form of the word hupomene, endure. "The count of happy which endure. You have heard of the patience of Job." Now, what is interesting in verse 11 is that the word macrothumia that is used in verse 7, "Be patient therefore, brethren." In verse 8, "Be you also patient." Again, the word macrothumia is used. It is used. And in verse 10, often the word macrothumia is used. And it's interesting because we get in the English in verse 11, "You have heard of the patience of Job." It is not, this word patience in verse 11 is not a form of the word macrophobia. It is, in fact, the word upomene. Upomene is a very important word for the believer. Because hupo means under. It is a preposition. And hupomene means to abide. Abide in my will. Abide, it means to remain. Remain, and it refers to a home. Live or abide in a home. Be at home in my will. So hupo, the preposition hupo, under, and mene, to remain. So hupomene means to remain under. To remain under. We read in the Synoptic Gospels, we read that when the Jesus was tempted by the devil, when the Jesus was thrown into the wilderness, such as the intensity of the Greek, he was tempted hupo, under the devil. He was tempted under the devil. We read also that when the Jesus was placed into the wilderness, he tempted under the devil, that he was filled with spirit. Now, to be filled with the spirit does not, the idea is not like that of filling a bottle. The idea is that of the personality is under one's personality is under the control of the spirit. spirit of God, the personality, the individuality, is under the control of the Holy Spirit. And so what we're looking at in the temptation about Jesus being filled with the Spirit and then being placed hupo under the enemy is that under the intense temptation event within the wilderness, the Jesus was prepared because he was filled with the Spirit. So what we have given to us is a model for ourselves, that to be filled with the Spirit should not be our uncommon way of being, but be filled with the Spirit should be our common way of being as believers or as believing ones. Because why else would Paul in Ephesians 6 talk about the believer's armor? The believer's armor is mounted after that of the Roman soldier. And notice where we're put on the helmet of salvation, so that that we will be able to withstand the fiery missile of the evil one, and our head must be protected, because this is a place of cognition. This is a place where our brain is protected. We have the vault of the skull, and then we have the helmet of salvation to protect our thought life, lest the fiery arrows of the enemy shoot us and disarm us. Because once our thought life is gone, then he has us. And so being filled with the Spirit is imperative for the believing one. It is imperative. So hupomene, you have heard of the patience of Job. So we want to dispel the understanding that Job has this huge reservoir of patience, as we know the word, from our background and our culture. That is not what it means here. This word, hupomene, means the ability to remain under a situation that has been divinely introduced into the life for a specific purpose. And it also means not to seek to get out from under that divine purpose until God is through or God has completed what he intended the event or situation to mean for our spiritual growth. So hupomene incorporates the idea of telos, or end or purpose. You're not your own. You are bought with a price. Job understands that he is not his own. He was bought with a price. So he is challenged not to have mental attitude sins toward his interrogator friend who want him to confess to that which is not in his life. So the patience of Job. This word hupomene is used throughout the New Testament. I'm going to turn to Revelation chapter 1 as another example of this very important word for believers. In Revelation chapter 1, verse 9, John states, "I, John, who also am your brother and companion in tribulation, and in the kingdom and patience of Jesus Christ, and that word patience is upomene, was in the isle that is called Patmos for the word of God and for the testimony of Jesus Christ. And you know, the Isle of Patmos is a small island in the Aegean Sea. This is where John was exiled for the teaching the word, for teaching the word of God, for the Evangelion, for the gospel, for the kerygma, for preaching, heralding the truth of God. Now, John never delivered a message that was not intent. His messages were indeed powerful because they were spirit-filled and spirit-led. So when we talk about spirituality, or biblical spirituality, it is filled with content. And there are many verses that talk about meditation in the Word of God, for instance, in Psalm 1. This Psalm speak talks about meditation. And in the book of Joshua, chapter 1, Joshua is enjoined by Yahweh to meditate upon this word. Not so that when a difficult situation comes, he seeks a verse to apply to his situation. One never finds that in the scripture. Psalm 119, thy word have I hid in my heart that I might not sin against thee. The word is called by Paul the sword of the Spirit. The sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. The sword of the Spirit. The word of God is alive and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing to the dividing as unto soul and spirit and joint and marrow, and is a discerner or judge of the thoughts and intent of the heart. That's why we choose this word over the well-written, well-crafted, well-argued, cogent words of man. They can be very scholarly and very insightful. And in no way am I discounting capable scholarship. Capable scholarship is wonderful, and it is greatly associated with God in our hearts, so that God can use this word to develop hupomene. Hupomene means to remain under until God has completed what he wants to do through the event or situation, but it also means to have strength to come out from under that situation and to charge victory. Beloved, God knows what he is doing. God's in control. When we talk about a control today, when we say God's in control, God knows what he's doing. God has a great blessing for your life this day. God has a telos and purpose for you. May you find that today. And I pray that these discussions about Job have been a blessing to you. My name is Dr. Josiah Rich. I will see you next time on the Matter Cast. Have a wonderful and blessed day.